once in a while.
I don't know how he knew it, but he knew that I wouldn't go near the subject of the love of God. If there's anything I wasn't, it was a liberal. If there's anything I wasn't a compromise. And all that was just compromise and liberal stuff, and I wasn't going there. Okay? And that was just my mindset. All right? And may I say, God rearranged my mindset that day on the way home. It just might help somebody else if you consider it and give it to them sometimes while you're preaching. Amen. Now, thank God we need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and with all long suffering. Amen. And doctrine. All right? No question about that. I'm in no wise even referring to the last message. I just say hallelujah for everything he said and the spirit in which he said it. Amen. But I just want to clarify that too. But this subject, the love of God, I was afraid of it. I was scared of it. Well, I'm more scared of the Lord. If you go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, notice what Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. In Ephesians 3 and verse 14, Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 15, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," now he's praying for the church there at Ephesus, and he's wanting God to grant them some things. Now, I don't know how you look at it, but when I read my Bible, I look at it like he's talking to me, too. Amen? Well, I'm halfway right anyway, all right? That he would grant you something, all right? I'm listening. What is Paul praying for the saints about? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Whoa, I need that, Brother Patton. I need that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That he might be more and more real to you by faith. Amen. Then he said that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend something with all the saints. What is it that you're praying for me that you feel like you know you want God to help me to comprehend something? What is it? Well, it is, what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? And to know, to really know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my. It's like the Apostle Paul is saying that he wants us, and that tells me he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That tells me that God wants me to look at, to consider, to weigh, to know, and to get this in my heart more and more and more, just how much that he really loves me. The height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Oh my, it was George Whitefield that said, finite souls can never possess an exhaustive knowledge of infinite love. But it sure helps us to try to get all the understanding we can. Amen. Of the love of God toward us. It won't make you loose. It'll bind you to his heart. It won't make you crooked. It'll straighten you out. It won't make you proud. It'll humble you and break your pride. It won't make you presumptuous. It'll make you precise and careful about not sinning. The more that you know his love for you. Now I want to just look at the cause of his love. Now there's a deep subject. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I think we've got a hit back here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verses 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, the Lord, Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. So he states it negatively. He didn't love you because there's anything great or anything big about you, but because the Lord loved you. Did you get that in verse 8? He didn't love you because there's anything good or anything great about you, but because the Lord loved you. If I understand that correctly, I just read, he loves me because he loves me. Amen. And you say, well, that was then. Well, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I got grafted in. Amen. Don't take that away from me. I won't let you. Amen. You know, the cause of his love, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my. There's nothing in you or in me that created love in God for us. There's nothing in you or me that caused God to love us. As a matter of fact, there was everything that caused him to go the other way. But I just read that God is love. You know, there's a song that, sometimes songs come in and they go out and they come in and they go out. And gospel songs, and good songs. Well, this was one of them. You remember this line. He knew me, yet he loved me. Well, I'm afraid a lot of people think he knew me, so he loved me. Oh, didn't that make you sick? He knew me, yet in spite of that, he loved this sinner. Amen. He cared about this sinner. Well, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love. That little word, manner, I was down at Camp Zion years ago, and Dr. Gray Allison was teaching in 1 John, and he stopped right there, and he made a statement. He said that little word, manner, is an adverb of place, and it carries with it the idea of where. I said, what? It carries the idea of where. It's an adverb of place. By the way, I checked it out, and it is an adverb of place, and it carries with it the idea of where. Yeah. In other words, what locality? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Kind of love is this that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? It's from out of this world. Amen. It's heaven sent. That's the only thing you can say. Amen. What kind of love is this? It's a foreign source to this world altogether. The origin is out of this world. It's a strange kind of love. The songwriter said, what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? Amen. The cause of his love is he himself. Somebody put it this way. How canst thou love me as thou dost, and be the God thou art? 'Tis darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. Amen. That helped me. I hope you got that. Amen. What wondrous love is this? The cause of his love is he himself. God is light in 1 John 1 and verse 5. God is spirit in John 4 and verse 24. God has life in himself. Amen. Nobody made him to be. He am. I am that I am. Amen. He doesn't be a gonna be or a was. Even when you get to where he's gonna be or was, he be a am. Amen. I am. Nobody caused him to be. God has life in himself, John 5:26. Even so, God is love. Well, God is love. In other words, it has something to do with the very nature of his being. It's not like a coat you can put on and take off. Amen? It's part of who he is and his essential being. Now, consider this with me. Go back to the book of Job, if you will. Job chapter 11. I know that Job had some miserable comforters. Amen? But when I look at Job 11, verses 8 and 9, I want to say that Zophar was right so far. Amen. He says in Job 11 and verse 7, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Get your tape measure out. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? What are you going to do? Deeper than him. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." Are you with me? He's talking about the existence of God's essential being, high as heaven, deeper than hell, longer than the earth and broader than the sea. It sounds to me like Ephesians chapter 3 all over again in the Old Testament. Only this time he's talking about the essential being of God himself. Even so is his love. You can mark it down. God's love is omnipresent. Amen. You're going to run into it here, there, and everywhere. Hang around a while. Everything that God is, his love is. Totally uncaused. Totally uncaused. Say, well, what makes it continue? Totally self-sustained. Amen. It's absolutely infinite. Infinite, just like God himself. Could we within the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and the angel's song. Amen. Infinite. No wonder Fanny Crosby wrote, "He hideth my soul in the depths of his love, covers me there with his hand." It was Bancroft that wrote and said that his love, it is an incomprehensibly vast. This is Tozer. You don't care who it is. That his love is incomprehensibly vast, bottomless, shoreless sea, before which we kneel in joyful silence, and from which the loftiest eloquence retreats confused and abashed. I can't handle this subject. Amen. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Oh my, and that ain't the half of it. Everything that God is, his love is eternal love. The beginning of his love, it never began. It always was. He said, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee." That word everlasting is the word olam, and it means time out of mind. In other words, it'd blow your mind if you knew. I'm talking about eternity with both ends kicked out. If you could kick the ends out of eternity. Anyway, we're talking about it began in the heart of eternal God himself, who never began. Amen. It's Yahweh, and he loves you. He just loves you. I don't know about you. That kind of helps me. And the manifestation of his love. Well, this is what Bancroft said. I knew it was here somewhere. I got to give it to you. Amen. Oh, my. The love of God. We're talking about the love of God manifested. Yeah? Did you ever take somebody to John 3:16?
When they were at the altar, and they were broken by the end of their lives. You know, if they're a church person, you have to know some religion. They probably have memorized it years ago. And if they're not really ready, you say, they're probably saying something like this: I already know all of them. My first thought is, no, you don't. And I read it to him in spite. Amen. And just might find out that he meant it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think you could quote it. But I'm telling you, folks, that word so, Bancroft said the word so indicates intensity in John 3:16. His love was so intense, its pressure was so great that it of necessity burst the bounds of the Godhead and poured itself in lavish fullness upon a lost and ruined race. Amen. Spurgeon said to feel his love, to rejoice in the person of the anointed Savior, to survey the promises and feel the power of the Holy Ghost in applying precious truth to the soul is a joy which worldlings cannot understand. They're just dead ducks. Amen. Amen. But which true believers are ravished with. Even a glimpse at the love of God is better than ages spent in the pleasures of sense. Amen. I couldn't have said that, but somebody needed to. Amen. We're talking about the manifestation of his love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. This is confrontational love. This is in your face love. You can't get away from this love. Amen. And if you've never known this love, you just need to be born again. Amen. You've come to know that love. You remember when you came to know the love of God? Amen. I knew all about it before I got saved. I knew the verses about it, memorized some verses about it. I could have told others about it. In fact, I did. But I tell you what, when I came to know it personally as a dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good, helpless sinner at the foot of the cross, and I found out all he loves me. Amen. He didn't just die for the sins of the world. He died for me. And he loves me. Amen. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love. God's love. Christ suffered and bled and died to pay for my sins. To redeem me, to ransom me, to reconcile me to holy God, to pardon me, to justify me, to save me. As I see thee wounded, bleeding, dying on the cursed tree, Lord, I find my heart believing thou hast suffered thus for me. Oh, what a difference that Jesus passed by. Amen. Every blow of the hammer was ringing out. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. I think it was Flavel that said each drop of blood whispered as it fell to the ground. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Well, I believe even in the darkness, that midnight Egypt darkness, that was all about the cross. I believe God was saying, I hate your sin, but I love you. I love you, and my son is bearing your sin. Yea, he has become your sin and bears all the judgment of God, not just of man, but of God himself in his own body on the tree. He suffered for our sins. The cross itself stands as a monument to the love of God. Tell of the cross,
where they nailed him. Tell how he writhed in pain, writhing in pain. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And the introduction to his love. By the way, we're in the fourth quarter, if you're keeping up. The introduction to his love. God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth is the word, two words it means to set together. Kind of like when you introduce somebody to somebody else. The introduction to his love. Amen. And that is the implication of the word to introduce. Amen. The introduction. It's not any good to know all about it if you've never been introduced to it. But if you've ever been introduced to it, you're ruined for this world. Amen. You're no good for the devil and his cause after that. I mean, you're just a problem. You're a sliver under the world's fingernail after that. You remember when God brought you to meet his love? I was terrified. I don't know how you were, where you... I was terrified. I was unfit. I was ungodly. For 4 years, I've been trying to make myself better and gooder and more religious and, be honest with you, more fundamental. And I was trying desperately to make myself everything I thought that I should be in order that God might be pleased with me. Oh, my. But I was keenly aware that I was no good. I was a sinner. I was separated from a holy God, unworthy and lost. Oh, my. And he was, when he began to deal with me, you know what he was requiring? He was requiring me to leave all of the filthy rags of self-righteousness that I'd covered myself with. He even wanted me to throw those down and just stand naked and guilty and undone in his sight. I was not a happy camper. It broke me, amen. He required me to leave it behind, all of my religion, and face my sin and repent and come just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And my heart was crying, God, where are you taking me? Oh, my. And it was as if he was saying, we're going somewhere. I want you to meet somebody. My heart is screaming, who, what, where, what's going on? Here he is right now. It's my love. It's my love personified. There he is. It's Jesus, the Son of God. My love expressed fully towards you. I want you to meet my love. Oh, what an introduction. I'm talking about unconditional love. I'm talking about proven love, eternal love, infinite love, personal love, unchanging love, fully expressed love, displayed, manifested, revealed, real love. God said, it's my love for you, and it's all in Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful introduction. And folks, I tell you what, I didn't, you know, it all happened, as they say in Mississippi, it all happened in a dash. Amen. But I look back on it now, that's what happened. Amen. Say, well, how'd you figure all that out? I didn't, man. He figured it out. I'm telling you folks, if you're saved, you remember when he introduced you to him, when he introduced you to his love. Amen. When his love became real, when his love became personal, when his love became sweet, it was good. It's everything your soul had been longing for, and all in a dash. It was a moment of realization and relief and rest and rejoicing. Now, maybe you like me, you didn't know what to do with it. It's a wonder I didn't strip a couple gears inside. I didn't know you could shout, but I found out in the book now, it's okay, and I'm going to let it go, amen. I don't want to bust. I just want to praise him, amen. Thank God for his love. Well, I don't know what you're going through here today, but I recommend you telling him every once in a while, I sure love you too. I mean, and if there's anything between you and him, I recommend you get it right. Amen. That love gets, it doesn't get any more. He can never love you anymore. Amen. And he's never going to change in his love to you. But you get to enjoy it even more when you get things right. I mean, just to come and tell him that you love him, you know he loves you. And that's the reason you love him. Amen. And that you're going to trust him for the future regardless. And you know, it might be somebody lost. And you'd sure like to come to know his love personally. So what does he require? You just bring your nothingness, your sinfulness. You take your hands off yourself and fall at the foot of the cross and give up and trust him to save you. Amen. It's not a work you did. It's a work he's already done there at Calvary. And you get in on it the moment you give up on yourself. And I want to tell you this too. It's possible to know all about his love and still be a stranger to it. Oh my. But it doesn't have to stay that way. He wants to introduce you to somebody. Amen. Amen.